Good afternoon. Welcome to today's conference call. I will now turn you over to your host, Jackie Gilliland.
Thank you very much. This is Jackie Gilliland, President of Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety. I want to thank everybody for joining us and our speakers in particular. Advocates is a coalition of consumer health and safety groups and property and casualty insurance companies working together to advance safer cars, safer drivers, and safer roads. Before we launch into the press conference, I just have a couple details I want to share with those that are participating. First, all of the speaker statements, as well as a summary of the AV START Act and a list of the worst provisions and omissions, will be posted on Advocates' website, which is www.saferoads.org. We will also post at the end of the press conference an audio, a version of this audio recording of this call will be available. We will take questions at the end, and then if you're interested in follow-up interviews, I'll give you the contact for that. The reason we're having this press call today is because tomorrow the Senate Commerce Committee will consider S-1885, legislation dealing with autonomous vehicles or driverless cars. The acronym for this bill is the AV START Act. This bill is critically important to the public and their safety. It establishes the so-called rules of the road for the development and public sale of driverless cars for the next decade or two. Unfortunately, this bill lacks adequate government oversight and industry accountability. We're here today to urge the Senate Commerce Committee to make safe and sensible improvements to the bill. Everyone speaking today has devoted their professional and personal lives to advancing public health and safety. We all believe that autonomous vehicles will not only change our lifestyles and travel choices, but will help us achieve meaningful reductions in the death and injury toll on our streets and highways. Unfortunately, this Senate bill takes a hands-off approach to hands-free driving, and today's speaker will discuss some of the most glaring flaws and problems with the legislation. Let me just highlight a few of those problems. The bill allows automakers to sell hundreds of thousands of cars that are exempt from current federal safety standards, including those for occupant protection and vehicle crashworthiness. These vehicles will be equipped with unproven technologies and sold to unsuspecting consumers. The bill keeps consumers in the dark about the capabilities and limitations of the autonomous vehicles they're purchasing. The bill calls for a government advisory committee to take 2 years or more to come up with consumer information recommendations, and even those recommendations for consumer information will be voluntary and not mandatory requirements on the industry. The bill lacks any requirements for analyzing or evaluating the performance of these new technologies. There isn't even any requirement for collecting data to see if there are any problems with these technologies. There are already warning signs that this bill places too much trust in the hands of automakers and too little importance on consumer safety protections. Just 3 weeks ago, the National Transportation Safety Board held a hearing on the fatal 2016 Tesla autopilot crash in Florida, and the board exposed very real risks of deploying technology that has not been adequately tested or reviewed by the federal government or understood by the purchaser. Additionally, over the last few years, Congress has held nearly 15 hearings, 15 on deadly safety defects, vehicle recalls, and industry cover-ups. These hearings exposed the lack of adequate DOT oversight with exploding Takata airbags and faulty GM ignition switches, among many others. I want to thank Senators Blumenthal and Markey for joining us today. They are members of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee with jurisdiction over this bill and are both strong safety champions. I am also pleased to be joined by Joan Claybrook, a former administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Dr. Stephen Hargarten, professor and chair of emergency medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, Will Wallace, policy analyst with Consumers Union, Jason Levine, executive director of the Center for Auto Safety, Sally Greenberg, executive director of the National Consumers League, and Jack Gillis, director of public affairs for the Consumer Federation of America. All of these groups are working together on this bill. And lastly, we also have family members today to share their stories of what happens when industry puts profits ahead of public safety. Laura Christian is the founder of the GM Recall Survivors. her daughter, Amber Marie Rose, was tragically killed in a crash in 2005 because of a faulty ignition switch. We will also be joined by Angelina Sujata, a victim of defective airbag inflator, a Takata airbag. Thank you very much, and Senator Markey, we will begin with you.
Thank you, Jackie, so much, and thank you for hosting today's call. I know Senator Blumenthal is going to be on, and I want to thank him for his continued partnership on improving the safety of our roads. This is a critical time. We're at a crossroads. We are on the cusp of deploying cars that literally drive themselves, and we're moving from an automotive era of look left, look right, look behind to look, Ma, no hands. It's a revolution that's about to take place. Autonomous car technologies hold the promise of revolutionizing the way we travel, improving safety, reducing congestion, decreasing pollution, but they can also pose major safety, cybersecurity, and privacy problems without appropriate safeguards in place. It's our job to animate these revolutionary transportation technologies with our core values, and that's why I've introduced a number of amendments for tomorrow's Senate committee markup that will establish enforceable rules of the road for these autonomous vehicles to protect the driving public. First, consumer education. As we transition into the next era of connected cars, consumers must be informed about the capabilities and limitations of their autonomous vehicle. Drivers must know when it's safe to take their hands off 10 and 12 at the wheel and let the autonomous system take over. And that's why I have offered an amendment ensuring consumers have clear and concise information on how to safely operate their autonomous cars. Next, cybersecurity. Now, we all know that today new cars are really computers on wheels. And in this Internet of Things era, thieves no longer need a crowbar to break into your car. They just need an iPhone to control the steering and the acceleration and even cut the brakes of a connected car. This is not some sort of Fast and Furious movie plot. We've seen firsthand how hackers remotely can control the brakes, steering, and acceleration of a Jeep Cherokee. Chrysler had to recall 1.4 million vehicles to fix this cybersecurity problem. Cybersecurity cannot be an afterthought, and that's why I filed an amendment directing the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration to establish federal standards to secure our cars. And finally, privacy. Americans need to be assured that as technologies change, our values do not change. And that's why we must ensure that these new transportation technologies protect Americans' privacy in an era where vehicles can record your conversations and track your every move. So I'm encouraging my colleagues to support my amendments, giving drivers and occupants meaningful control over their sensitive information. I commend Chairman Thune and Ranking Member Nelson and Senators Peters and others for undertaking a monumental task in creating a roadmap for the successful and safe deployment of these revolutionary technologies. And I look forward to working with all of my colleagues to seize this opportunity to establish true rules of the road that protect the public from automotive defects, cyber attacks, abusive invasions of privacy in this new era of autonomous vehicles. So, Jackie, thank you. And to all the advocates, thank you for all of your leadership.
Thank you, Senator Markey. We're next going to go to Joan Claybrook, but I just wanted to check to see if Senator Blumenthal had joined us yet. Okay. If he hasn't, we will now be hearing from Joan Claybrook, who is the former president of Public Citizen, the former NHTSA administrator during the Carter administration. She is also chair of Citizens for Reliable Safe Highways and is consumer co-chair of Advocates. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you very much, Jackie. As Winston Churchill famously said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Tomorrow, we're going to witness the Senate Commerce Committee take up a bill that completely ignores recent history, including past mistakes, cover-ups, blunders, and illegal actions of the auto industry. These corporate misdeeds have caused hundreds of deaths and serious injuries, resulted in millions of vehicles under recall for serious safety defects, and have brought federal criminal charges against major auto companies for intentionally misleading government regulators and the public. The Senate legislation on driverless cars, the so-called AV START Act, should be better named the START OVER Act. It puts auto and tech companies who basically wrote the bill in the driver's seat in the development and deployment of unproven autonomous vehicles. It puts the Federal Auto Safety Agency in the back seat in terms of ensuring industry accountability. And it leaves consumers stranded on the side of the road without essential protections for basic information. Tomorrow, the Senate committee will take up S-1885. That is going to give the green light to auto and tech companies to rush to market hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of autonomous vehicles that are not ready to be sold to unsuspecting and uninformed consumers. They claim autonomous cars will save many lives, but there is no research or studies documenting this. It's an argument. It is not a fact-based statement. It is not something that should force an immediate action on these issues. This bill represents one of the biggest assaults on the 1966 Federal Vehicle Safety Act that's ever occurred. The AV START Act sets up a cursory review process by an underfunded and understaffed agency, and no money is in this bill to help them do this job. And it allows manufacturers exemptions for 50,000 vehicles initially and more later from the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards, including standards that protect occupants in a serious crash. Let me be clear. These are vehicles intended to be sold to the public and are not just for testing purposes. Unfortunately, the public will be the crash test dummies in this dangerous experiment. Without any requirement whatsoever to demonstrate that the exempted vehicles are performing safely on the road, auto and tech companies get a free pass in subsequent years to roll out even more AVs with exemptions, first 75,000 and then 100,000. Current federal law caps the number of exemptions today to 2,500 vehicles, and for good reason. But the enormous number of vehicles that could be exempted from safety standards under the Thune bill to be sold for use on our streets is an uncontrolled and unnecessary experiment that threatens the safety of the entire motoring public. Several weeks ago, the National Transportation Safety Board held a hearing on the May 7, 2016 fatal crash of a Tesla Model S with an automated driving system. The NTSB board members identified many problems and deficiencies with the autopilot system that are not unique to Tesla. Instead of acting on the NTSB concerns, the Senate bill ignores them. The NTSB criticized the lack of adequate consumer information, yet under the AV START Act, there is no requirement that consumers be informed at the point of sale or in the owner's manual about the capabilities and limitations of the autonomous cars they're being sold. Moreover, researchers doing important safety work are locked out from accessing critical data to assess safety performance. The NTSB strongly endorsed the need for this type of data collection and safety evaluation. This bill should create a database that both consumers and independent organizations can use to attain vital information about driverless cars, and require that the database be searchable by vehicle identification number, or the VIN. The bill ignores this necessity. The NTSB hearing also emphasized the failure of the vehicle's automated driving system to keep the driver focused on the driving task. The Tesla crash investigation found that the driver was distracted for lengthy periods of time. The vehicle was also speeding. The AV START Act does not propose any solutions to either of these problems. NHTSA should issue a standard on the interface between the human driver and the autopilot, and the legislation should require NHTSA to issue a rule assuring consumers that the vehicle electronics are viable and safe, just like the FAA requires. I had the honor of directing NHTSA as administrator during the Carter administration. The agency is responsible for the safety of over 321 million Americans who drive or ride in more than 281 million registered motor vehicles. It is not and never should be an economic cheerleader for the financial investments of the auto and tech companies who are rushing to sell autonomous cars to recoup their investments. We all want to reduce motor vehicle crashes, deaths, and injuries. We all want to encourage new and life-saving technologies in our cars. But we all want to avoid mistakes that jeopardize safety and consumer confidence. Unfortunately, this bill fails to do that in every respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. We're next going to go to Dr. Stephen Hargarten. Before we do that, I'd like everybody to mute your phone if you're going to be doing multitasking during this conference call. Dr. Hargarten joins us from the Medical College of Wisconsin, where he is a professor and chair of emergency medicine. As an emergency room doctor and a nationally recognized expert on injury prevention, he knows firsthand why strong motor vehicle safety protections are so important to save lives and prevent trauma. Thank you, Dr. Hargarten.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I am here today as an emergency physician who has spent my entire career treating motor vehicle crash victims. Motor vehicle crash deaths and serious injuries are a nationwide public health and safety burden, accounting for over 35,000 deaths and over 2.4 million injuries in 2015. As a physician, I enthusiastically welcome new technologies to save lives that we see in the emergency room and in our vehicles today. That's why I have championed airbags, rollover protection, ejection mitigation advances, and recently rearview cameras in cars to prevent backover deaths. New and innovative autonomous vehicle technologies that minimize human error have tremendous potential to prevent crashes, deaths, and injuries, and expand mobility opportunities for neglected communities. However, as a medical professional, I am deeply concerned about the Senate bill. It rushes new technologies to market without adequately balancing public safety and economic motives or ensuring government oversight of industry progress. In the field of medicine, before a new drug product enters the marketplace, the drug manufacturer must prove that it is both safe and effective for its intended use. Clinical trials are conducted. After years of testing, the manufacturer shares its research and data with government regulators. The process requires extensive analysis, independent review, and expert determinations that a new drug or procedure is beneficial to public safety and considered safe for widespread release and use. In contrast with the established protocols for testing new drug products, the process to bring new autonomous vehicle technology to the marketplace is taking a decidedly different and troubling approach. The manufacturers will be experimenting unproven technologies operating on public streets and roads. The US DOT is abandoning its role to effectively evaluate these technologies by issuing minimum safety requirements. Consumers will be purchasing and driving new cars that may or may not adequately protect them and their families in a serious crash. I urge the Senate Commerce Committee to make vital and common sense improvements to the Senate AV bill. Provisions should be added to ensure transparent testing, provide publicly accessible data, and adopt reasonable regulations. Thank you.
Hi, it's Dick Blumenthal. I'm wondering whether
you,
I can
yes,
make a couple of remarks.
Yes, absolutely.
Hi, thank you so much. Thanks so much for organizing this call. I want to join my colleague, Senator Markey, in decrying some of the defects in the bill as it's written now, focusing especially on the preemption provision, as the former Attorney General of Connecticut and the senator from that state, I'm very concerned that this legislation would preempt states from seeking to protect their consumers. It cuts off access to justice for injured people when autonomous vehicles inevitably cause injury or death. And very simply, access to justice shouldn't depend on whether it's a human or a robot that's at the wheel. The auto industry, in my view, has failed to demonstrate over recent years that it has a safety culture that can be very completely trusted. I'm skeptical that this industry will responsibly self-certify their autonomous vehicles. And I want to make sure that state laws like Connecticut's are upheld when they impose a higher standard of accountability and responsibility. I also want to add that the legislation has to include a requirement that manufacturers must allow for a human operator to take manual control of the vehicle. There may be, in fact, plans by the manufacturers to provide for that kind of manual override, but it ought to be required as a matter of legislation. And I hope that this bill will be amended. If it's going to be moved this week in the Senate Commerce Committee, I certainly will ask for modifications that impose higher safety standards, and I will urge my colleagues to support these amendments and to make sure that manufacturers are held accountable for the safety of autonomous vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Blumenthal, for joining us today. We are now going to turn to Laura Christian. Laura Christian is the founder of the GM Recall Survivors Group. She is the birth mother of Amber Marie Rose, who was tragically killed in 2005 because of a GM faulty ignition switch. After her daughter's death and finding out about the defect, Laura has become a dedicated champion for auto safety. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Laura Christian. I'm the founder of the GM Recall Survivors and the birth mother of Amber Marie Rose. I started this organization because my daughter Amber was killed 12 years ago on July 29, 2005, when the car she was driving struck multiple trees. The car had a faulty GM ignition switch and her airbags did not deploy. Today is a difficult day for me. First, because it's Amber's birthday. She would have been 29 years old. Not only did her needless death take her away from me, but it also took away a wonderful daughter who was denied a career, a chance to marry, an opportunity to have children, my grandchildren. More than 200 people, including Amber, were killed and hundreds more were injured because GM executives failed to reveal a fatal defect they knew about for over a decade. These terrible losses were entirely preventable with just a 57-cent fix had GM acted responsibly and in the interest of public safety. Instead, GM covered up the safety defect and continued to put faulty ignition switches into cars, resulting in 30 million cars being recalled worldwide. They also continued to blame drivers for the crashes, even though they knew it was their fault. The story of the GM faulty ignition switch is not unique. Despite the checkered history of the auto industry and tech companies to be forthcoming about problems before the end of the marketplace, Congress is rushing through legislation that is full of giveaways to the automakers and gotchas to the public. It's inconceivable to me that this bill ignores the history of auto executives who have put profits ahead of public safety. Unbelievably, the American public is being asked to trust them with their lives without adequate oversight and assurances. My daughter was killed by a single defect. The ignition switch shut off while the car was still running, thereby preventing the airbags from being deployed. Pretty simple in concept. If we cannot trust automakers to do the right thing with a single safety defect, how are we expected to trust them to do the right thing with extremely complex, interdependent systems and software necessary for autonomous driving? Driverless cars should be rolled out in a way that will keep people safe, that will help consumers understand their capabilities and limitations, that have been reviewed and tested by the U.S. Department of Transportation, and that will provide assurances that safety defects have been addressed and corrective action taken immediately. Despite millions of cars recalled, despite hundreds of deaths and thousands of injuries, the Senate proposes a great leap backward, a leap into the dark ages that exempts hundreds of thousands of cars equipped with virtually unexplored, unproven, and under-tested technology. Eager to leap into the future, we are dooming ourselves to relive the heartache of the past. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura. Really appreciate your joining us today. I'm now going to ask Will Wallace to speak. Will is a policy analyst at Consumers Union. He specializes in product safety, motor vehicle safety, and food policy issues. Thank you for joining us today, Will.
Thanks, Jackie, and thank you for your vital words, Laura. Consumers Union is the policy division of Consumer Reports, an independent nonprofit organization that works side by side with consumers to create a fairer, safer, and healthier world. Self-driving cars have enormous potential to make our roads safer. They have the potential to significantly reduce crashes attributable to driver error. They can also improve mobility for millions of older Americans, people with disabilities, and other consumers nationwide. Given this enormous potential, the last thing Congress should do is rush through a bill that removes critical guardrails to create a fast lane for self-driving cars, regardless of the quality of evidence showing whether they're safe. That opens the door for an automaker to put unsafe cars on the road. And when one of those cars crashes and lives are lost, it could set the technology back decades. The current version of S-1885, the AV START Act, includes certain parts that embrace accountability along with technological ambition. But overall, the bill falls far short of what consumers need, and it clearly fails to make consumer safety the top priority. The bill could allow millions of cars on the market that are exempt from federal safety standards and don't adequately protect consumers in a crash. It would undermine critical state and local responsibilities related to highway safety, and it would ignore critical recommendations by the NTSB made to help ensure the safety of the partially automated vehicles that already are on the market, such as the Tesla Model S mentioned earlier that crashed in Florida. Federal law shouldn't leave consumers as guinea pigs. Doing so risks crashes that could cause serious harm and set the technology back years. In working with Senate offices, we were hopeful that this bill would include much stronger measures. Unfortunately, that's not the case right now, but it's not too late. Senators should step up and turn the AV START Act into a strong bill that puts safety first, regardless of whether a human or software is doing the driving. They should require automakers to be evidence-based in deploying highly automated vehicles and to meet sensible, enforceable measures to protect consumers against new hazards that may emerge. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Will. I really appreciate your joining us. We are now going to hear from Angelina Sujata. Angelina sustained serious injuries when her car was involved in a 25-mile-an-hour rear-end crash. Upon impact, the Takata airbag inflator exploded, shooting metal shrapnel into her chest and causing severe injuries. Thank you very much, Angelina, for joining us today.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Angelina Sujata. I'm a South Carolina resident who was injured by shrapnel from a defective Takata airbag. I oppose the AV START Act as is currently written, and I do hope that my story will serve as an example to as why all vehicles should be subjected to federal motor vehicle safety standards. On March 2, 2012, I was driving my 2001 Honda Civic when I was involved in an accident while coming home from the store. I was going less than 25 miles an hour upon impact, but the airbag in my car shot out forcefully and sent metal fragments flying. Some of this metal, strap metal, cut and became lodged in my chest, and I have two surgeries to remove the fragments, leaving me with permanent scarring, and now I have anxiety while driving as well as lingering pain in my chest. However, it wasn't until 1 year after my crash that I received a letter that there was a recall on my car due to this defective Takata airbag system. An airbag was supposed to save your life, not hurt you, and that's why I'm participating today. I hope what happened to me doesn't happen to anybody else. For years, Takata managed to funnel out millions of defective airbags through auto manufacturers, endangering millions of lives. While our government did nothing to intervene and prevent this from happening, defects and injuries on this scale shouldn't happen. My experience shows that the federal government can and should do more to protect the motoring public. If this bill is passed, it would allow hundreds of thousands of autonomous vehicles to be exempt and from needed federal motor safety standards. None of us will be fully safe on the roads if this is allowed to happen. We are still trying to get these dangerous airbags off the road, so we shouldn't be too quick to forget the ramifications and lack of government oversight that can have on auto safety. Takata showed us how tragic and widespread consequences can be from a single safety defect. In the case of Takata, this defect was hidden by the industry that took years to uncover. Yet now the industry wants us to trust them as they deploy vast numbers of driverless cars that are incredibly complex without an evaluation of safety. There are lots of lessons to be learned from the Takata defect, including that public safety must come before private profit. The NHTSA must be given resources and expertise that it needs to be an effective watchdog, and they need to be given enhanced penalties to protect against industry misconduct and maleficence. I hope to convey just how deeply the situation has affected me and so many others that were harmed by unsafe vehicles. The day of my accident changed my life in ways that I never foresaw. While I can never go back to the way my life was before, I can use my voice to do all my power to try to make sure the vehicle manufacturers are held accountable and that there are, you know, checks and balances in place for auto safety. We cannot shortchange it when it comes to safety, and I urge the committee to carefully consider the lives of ones they love and for all the who they represent. By advancing this bill as it is currently written, they are putting everyone at risk.
Thank you very much, Angelina, for joining us. We'll now hear from Jason Levine. Jason is the Executive Director of the Center for Auto Safety.
Thank you, Jackie. As she mentioned, my name is Jason Levine. I'm the Executive Director of the Center for Auto Safety. And I want to thank my colleagues in the safety community for hosting this conference, press conference today, particularly our friends from the Advocates for Highway Safety for putting it together. A special thanks to Senators Blumenthal and Markey for their continued leadership when it comes to auto safety issues. And I'd especially like to thank Laura and Angelina for sharing their stories today to help prevent others from having to live with similar pain, because their tragic experiences perfectly exemplify the reason we are all talking today. The cars of tomorrow can and should be the safest, highest quality, and most environmentally friendly vehicles ever developed. Yet Americans are not comfortable with the idea of giving complete control over their vehicles to a computer, and this mistrust is for good reason. When an industry that has a history of fighting safety features at every turn could be provided with total exemptions from the federal motor vehicle safety standards, including ones that require seatbelts or roof crush protections, it raises serious questions. When that same industry is not going to be required to quickly make public all of the relevant safety data on fully autonomous vehicles, one can only ask what is being hidden. And when instead of new, strong federal rules and regulations, the auto industry can expect little or nothing in the way of oversight from the Department of Transportation for at least the duration of this administration, as demonstrated by the recent release of the weak and ineffective voluntary guidelines on AVs, everyone from drivers to passengers to pedestrians should be concerned. And when Congress contemplates stripping from states the ability to write their own rules of the road or preserve the right of redress for their residents who are injured or killed by a defective vehicle, even when there are no federal replacements anywhere on the horizon, it seems clear that the last priority being contemplated is consumer safety. Sadly, the auto industry has never been shy about rolling out new products that maximize profits, but it is too often dawdled in handling defects or design flaws. A perfect analogy is Angelina's story. Today, airbags are an amazing safety device that have saved tens of thousands of lives and are in every new car. But it took more than 30 years involving many stops and starts, breakthroughs, and breakdowns. And even today, when no one would think of purchasing a car for their child, themselves, or their parents without airbags, we are in the midst of an enormous recall of Takata airbags because in the rush to save money, a defective safety device was installed in more than 60 million vehicles. This story perfectly encapsulates the promise of safety that autonomous vehicles might bring and how a lack of leadership by the government and too keen a focus on profits and speed over safety could derail progress for everyone. Americans are right to be concerned about the lack of governmental oversight and an absence of corporate caution in the rush to be first to get self-driving cars on the road. Industry is promising never-before-seen levels of safety will become standard on self-driving cars if we just remove all the existing regulatory roadblocks. Auto history shows what happens when speed is put ahead of safety. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jason. We now will be hearing from Sally Greenberg. Sally is the Executive Director of the National Consumers League. At National Consumers League, she advances policies to ensure consumers have access to information protection from dangerous products. Welcome, Sally.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Jackie and Advocates, for organizing this press conference. We also want to thank our heroic Senate safety advocates like Senators Markey and Blumenthal, and thank you to the consumers who've come forward who've been injured or family members have been injured or killed by vehicle defects. It's really brave of you to be out there, and you're so critical that you be there to tell your story.
This is a watershed moment for auto safety as Congress is poised to approve sweeping legislation for the rollout of autonomous vehicles. The conventional wisdom, of course, is that driver error contributes heavily to accidents and injuries and that autonomous vehicles hold the potential to prevent many accidents and save lives. Like everyone else that's spoken before me, we are excited by the possibilities of the preventing some of the driver error and giving mobility to those who don't have it now through autonomous vehicles. But let us be clear, driver error alone is not the only cause of injury and death. No injury industry as powerful and important as the auto industry can be left to regulate itself. To the contrary, this is an industry with a long history of introducing dangerous automotive vehicle designs into the marketplace with defects that have caused injury and death to hundreds of thousands of drivers and passengers, from the Ford Pinto exploding rear gas tank, the Chevy Corvair's wheels folding in, to the Ford Explorers whose tires shredded at high speeds, to Takata airbags exploding with shrapnel, and most recently the faulty ignition switches, which have resulted in death and injury to untold hundreds of passengers and drivers. The automotive industry has crafted a bill now for rollout on autonomous vehicles that leaves them totally unaccountable to anyone. This is a recipe for disaster. In this bill, they aren't accountable to NHTSA or federal regulators, not to the state departments of motor vehicles or other state officials, not to consumers who want the right to take them to court if they're injured or killed by a defective or poorly designed vehicle. The vacuum of regulatory oversight by either DOT or the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration envisioned in this legislation, in combination with the bill's preemption of the state's roles in overseeing the safety of their citizens and blocking civil lawsuits by individuals injured by defects, is terrifying. There will be injuries, there will be fatalities, and this bill's lack of oversight will put the safety of vehicle occupants in great jeopardy. We count on our members of Congress to demand that industry remain accountable. We've seen this movie before. Allow the auto industry to self-regulate, and we will have a crisis on our hands, and we will have Congress holding hearings and demanding that members of the industry come before them and safety advocates come with their remedies to fix the problems, and everybody will be shaking their head and saying, how did this happen? Well, we're saying now, don't let this happen. We need reasonable oversight. We need members of Congress to come to the defense and come to the aid of consumers and protect all of our interests before we roll out this sweeping legislation on autonomous vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sally. And now our last speaker is Jack Gillis. Jack Gillis is the Director of Public Affairs for Consumer Federation of America, as well as the publisher of the Car Book. Thank you, Jack, for joining us today.
Thank you, Jackie. As has been mentioned numerous times, autonomous vehicles have the extraordinary potential to be the technological vaccine that will dramatically reduce death and injury. However, more than any other product introduction in our history, there needs to be significant oversight, standards, and regulations established to ensure that the true potential of the AV is reached. Right now, Congress is on the verge of abdicating its public responsibility by failing to address some fundamental problems with the autonomous vehicle bills currently being considered. First, there is the danger of introducing hundreds of thousands of vehicles into the market prior to establishing specific performance standards for this extraordinarily complex technology. Consider this. While the complexity of today's vehicles is far less than the autonomous vehicles coming down the road, during the past 3 years, three times as many vehicles have been recalled as even sold. This extraordinary recall rate is based mainly on mechanical failures. Imagine the combination of sophisticated computerization with mechanical safety features in AVs will only increase the potential for problems. As these new technologies are introduced, we need more, not less, regulatory oversight. Secondly, the elimination of occupant safety requirements in autonomous vehicles will deny passengers critically important protections in the inevitable accidents. For the foreseeable future, one of the biggest challenges facing consumers will be the mix of AVs, autonomous vehicles, with HDs, human drivers. As each of these operating systems try to work together, there will be accidents. Denying the occupants of AVs the protections offered by current federal safety requirements will subject them to needless injury and death. Thirdly, the need for public access to data associated with AV operations, especially in accident and accident avoidance situations. By their nature, AVs will be collecting tremendous amounts of data that can be used to critically evaluate the vehicle's performance. Independent researchers and government regulators need unbiased access to this important performance data. Locking it up behind corporate doors will deny the public with the ability to determine real-world performance of AVs. Requiring public disclosure of the data associated with AV operations, with, of course, privacy protections, is an absolute necessity. Finally, currently the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration simply lacks the capacity to properly oversee and regulate this technology. The AV is likely one of the most technologically sophisticated products in recent history. Congress needs to significantly increase NHTSA's funding and require the establishment of specialized AV department with highly trained and experienced staff to oversee AV standards. Without such a department, it's too easy for the car and technology companies to forge ahead with unregulated products using the excuse that NHTSA simply can't understand or evaluate these products. Government ignorance is a recipe for tragic consequences, consequences that ironically will hamper the development of this life-saving technology. As mentioned, even a small number of tragedies could negatively influence public support needed to bring this technology forward. We are confident that the car and technology companies are on the cusp of nearly unimaginable achievements in safety. Doing so, however, without specific oversight and standards, ironically, could have tragic consequences. Congress needs to heed the well-known highway safety sign, slow down, and save lives. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jack. That concludes our presentation. I'd just like to end by saying that, you know, this is really an important but very flawed bill. You've heard from two senators, two victims of a preventable but deadly auto defect, one medical doctor, and representatives of six of the major consumer and safety groups in the United States representing millions of consumers. And all of us will do everything we can to save lives on our highways, but this is not the bill that's going to achieve that. Anyway, I'd like to open it up for questions now. If you could identify yourself before you ask your question, I'd appreciate it.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that will be star one. And your first question comes from the line of Renee Beeney with Bloomberg News. Your line is live.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for holding the call. This is a question for Senators Markey and Blumenthal. If the committee doesn't incorporate some of the amendments that you seek to introduce to bolster consumer protections and safety oversight, will you oppose the bill, and will you seek support and additional opposition from your Democratic colleagues?
I don't think Senators Markey and Blumenthal are on the call. They just came on and had to leave right away. I'm sure if you call their offices and ask that question, you could probably get an answer from them.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Pete Bigelow with Car and Driver Magazine. Your line is live.
Hi, thanks for so much for holding the call today. Wondering if someone can address the concepts raised, I guess, by the NTSB and also earlier on this call about the lack of evidence capture or data collection in the event of a crash or near crash involving an autonomous car. How exactly can those be investigated by any federal agency with so much of these systems kind of proprietary?
This is Joan Holbrook. This is an incredibly serious issue because the public will have no idea of which makes and models are working well or which ones aren't. Neither will the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And if these databases aren't built into the initiation of these vehicles on the highway, we're all going to be in the dark. And you know, today there are crash investigations by NHTSA. There is data that is gathered on all fatal crashes called the FARS. And this kind of information is absolutely essential, particularly with the introduction of a radical new technology such as this.
Okay. I was just going to add that that is certainly one of the amendments that we're pushing for tomorrow's markup, that there should be added to the bill a requirement for collecting this data so that we can evaluate these systems, especially if they go ahead with this foolhardy idea of allowing 100,000 vehicles to be exempt from safety standards. It really is important that we know whether these systems need new innovative technologies are actually working, causing harm, and should not be continued.
Great,
next
thank
question.
You.
And your next question comes from the line of Joan Lowy with AP.
This would have been a better question for the senators, but just your own, Jackie or Joan, your political judgment here on whether, assuming we get a bill out of committee tomorrow, and I know there may be some changes in committee that you would like, but do you anticipate quick floor action on this, or do you think that this is something that's going to be difficult to get through the Senate?
I can't really speculate, Joan. I mean, it's really hard to figure out. They certainly have a lot of issues they need to deal with, and it kind of depends, I think, what happens at the markup tomorrow. If there are, you know, a lot of amendments adopted and people feel really good about it, or if they report a bill out that rejects a lot of these provisions, it's very difficult to, you know, in any way sort of determine when it's going to be taken to the floor. I mean, we really don't see the rush to do this. I think it's ironic that, you know, the bill exempts level two HAVs, and yet those are probably the vehicles that are going to be on the roads in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, and they're on the roads right now. And yet this bill really deals with vehicles years out there and doesn't do a good job of, you know, protecting the public. So we're kind of in the, you know, at advocates of let's slow down and get it right before we, you know, get it done quickly.
One last thing while I got you on the phone. Nobody's mentioned trucks today. The bill doesn't include trucks, but certainly there'll be an effort to put trucks into the bill. And I just didn't
I understand
know.
That there's an amendment to be offered to include trucks. Our position is that, you know, trucks are going to be, may well be the first vehicles that are on the road. And so we put forward a proposal in our statement that we submitted, which outlines all of the different provisions that we think ought to be included on trucks. We don't care whether they include it in this bill or they do it as a separate bill, but if they don't do anything, then trucks are going to fall under the voluntary guidelines of the DOT, which are completely unacceptable.
Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Jeff Plungis with Consumer Reports. Your line is live.
Hi, thanks. So maybe this is for Joan or Jackie. The call here presented a pretty dire vision of the future if the bill goes through in anything close to its current form. The sense I'm getting, you know, from these unanimous or near unanimous votes in Congress is that the lawmakers are really not sharing or buying into the dangers that you're presenting. So I don't know. Could you, like, we now know what you don't want. You don't want this alternative, unproven safety system to be enacted. But what can you say to lawmakers about how this technology that a lot of people are really excited about, the industry is excited about, Wall Street's excited about it, some consumers are excited about it. So what is the responsible way for getting that technology out there?
Well, this is Joan Claybrook. It should be incremental. You know, when the auto industry adopted air conditioning, which of course was not a safety hazard, as possible here in the late 40s, early 50s. They did it very incrementally. They did it on a few makes and models. They evaluated them. They were available because there were not that many vehicles involved to make corrections and fix the mistakes. Here, they're rushing in huge numbers of vehicles, at least they suggest that they are, to be autonomous vehicles. And the biggest problem is that they're going to have all these exemptions from safety standards. The bill requires NHTSA to approve them, but gives them 180 days to do so, which is a joke, and doesn't add any new staff or funding to do it. NHTSA does not have, in many ways, the expertise to handle the requirements of this legislation. And so I would say that the two major things that are a huge problem are, one, the lack of capacity of NHTSA to implement this bill, which means it's just going to rumble along without NHTSA's expertise being applied. And number two, the huge numbers of vehicles that do not have to meet safety standards. You know, over the years, the agency, the law that administered by the agency, allows an exemption of 2,500 vehicles from a safety standard. What the industry is doing here is, it instead of testing the vehicles and incrementally improving them and adding them to the environment, the road environment, they're trying to get huge numbers of vehicles authorized without meeting safety standards. And this is tragic, really. And I think that one of the unfortunate results is there are going to be some terrible problems, and then the public is now not very enthusiastic at all. In fact, something like 60 to 80% of the public don't want them. That's going to be magnified if there's some terrible crashes and injuries and deaths.
Jeff, let me just add, too. I mean, all of the things that we're proposing will not in any way delay deployment of this, but they will ensure that they're deployed safely. You know, we'd like to see a significantly smaller number of vehicles eligible for exemption. And before we move to, you know, increase that number, there should be some evaluation. As I said, there's not even a provision in the bill to collect that data. Right now, as a result of the Tesla crash, there needs to be a standard that NHTSA issues for the issue of human and machine interface, so that if you're going to have these autonomous vehicles that require drivers to get involved in the tasks of driving or not be involved, that there needs to be some standard governing that, as we found out from the Tesla crash. Joan mentioned there needs to be additional resources. We also heard from the families who, you know, attest to the problem of the industry not being trustworthy, and yet NHTSA is lacking some very fundamental tools like imminent hazard authority and criminal penalty authority in order to ensure that these companies are being truthful in, you know, what they're selling. We are even asking for something which, you know, has been resisted, NHTSA to verify the AV level. If you're going to have AVs at level 2, 3, 4, and 5, why not have on the, you know, a sticker on the vehicle information saying, yes, this is a level 2, yes, this is a level 3, and these are the limitations and capabilities. But, you know, in the rush to try to accommodate auto industry interests, you know, they are just, you know, completely discounting some of these really basic provisions. And I think there have been multiple public opinion polls that show, you know, the public isn't there yet. You still have large proportion of the public that doesn't want to get in a car where they're not going to be driving or have concerns. And if they make some huge error in this, that's only going to affect that consumer confidence. So I would think that the committee would look at these provisions that we are supporting and say, okay, this is the responsible way to get these vehicles into the marketplace and also ensure that consumers are going to want to buy these and have the information they need.
Jeff, one last thing. This is Joan again. One of the things that I mentioned in my statement is that there is no NHTSA standard, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration safety standard, that governs the viability of the electronics in motor vehicles, as there is at the FAA. And these vehicles are, you know, computers on the highway, and they need to have such a standard. And I don't think that an autonomous vehicle ought to be allowed to be sold until such a standard is issued and in effect, because otherwise the public, it's a crapshoot for the public, and the public is the one that's going to pay the penalty.
Jeff, this is Jack Gillis. Just to expand on Joan's comment, what do we want? We want the same type of oversight that exists with the FAA in the development of airline technology, with the development of drug technology. One couldn't even begin to imagine putting drugs or airplanes or a variety of other products onto the marketplace without significant oversight, especially when public health is involved. So there are plenty of models that can be used to develop safe AVs. And as we have said, one or two or three accidents could potentially deny all of us with the potential safety that is inherent in these vehicles.
Thank you, Jack. Any more questions?
Your next question comes from the line of Ed Blazina with Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Your line is live.
Hello, Ed Blazina from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thanks again for holding this today. How does this bill that's up in the Senate differ substantially from what the House considered with the Safe Drive bill? And at times, do you feel like you're swimming upstream here, where, you know, the Trump administration has kind of taken hands off on this whole issue?
Thank you for that question. I'm going to ask Peter Kurdock of Advocate Staff, who has looked more closely at the comparisons between the House and Senate bill. If there's any other speakers who want to address that, feel free to jump in. And yes, we do feel like we're swimming upstream, but it's not an unusual situation for us. We're always in this situation. But we hope, and we have some strong allies on the committee, that we're hoping at tomorrow's markup, and by the time the bill eventually is enacted, we'll see the benefit of including these provisions that we're proposing. Peter?
Hi, Ed. So certainly the House and Senate bill differ in a lot of important issues. They certainly try to address the same issues, but they do them differently. So if there's a certain issue maybe that you're particularly interested in, happy to address that. I mean, we certainly believe neither one of these bills are adequate in providing consumer education. They're different. For example, they do different numbers of vehicle exemptions that both Joan and Jackie have talked about. They, both differ in how they're going to collect some of this data. Needed, both are woefully insufficient. So those are some of the major issues. The folks, they also take different tacks towards consumer information. Again, neither are adequate to ensure that consumers are going to have the proper information they need at the point of sale about the capabilities and limitations of these things. So there are certainly issues that are shared in both the bills, but they certainly do take different approaches in many of these.
And I also, this is Jason Levine from the Center for Auto Safety. I wanted to just address your second question about sort of how this administration makes it perhaps more difficult than in other contexts here. And I think that part of what we're seeing is the particularly Department of Transportation's stance on essentially all guidelines, all measures with respect to autonomous vehicles shall be voluntary if they have their way, really puts the pressure on something being done in a way that provides actual oversight as opposed to just allowing industry to do whatever it wants in this space, which makes the need and the criticality of something appropriately consumer safety minded being done in this context.
This is Will Wallace from Consumers Union. Just to jump in on that same point, the broader deregulatory environment that currently exists in DC has clearly had an impact on these bills. We have seen provisions that have no consideration for safety get into these bills, and we don't think that would be taking place if not for the broader environment.
I mean, I think as Laura and Angelina spoke eloquently about, it's almost like there's a defect amnesia. Both of the House and Senate committees held numerous hearings on defects, and yet now we're at a time that we're ready to ignore all those problems which still exist, the agency being underfunded, understaffed, an industry that, you know, is motivated by profits to get their technology to the marketplace first, and no checks and balances to make sure that the public's safety is protected. Any other questions?
Your final question comes from the line of Dr. Lewis Alpert. Your line's live, sir.
Yes, this is Dr. Lewis Alpert from the Rockland County Times. We've been doing some studies on self-driving cars and self-driving trucks for a couple of years now, almost. And we're, of course, very concerned with this bill. We think there's a lot of big problems involved. In fact, going back one step, we were very concerned with the lack of the bill that should be passed by now, the Used Car Safety Recall Repair Act, hasn't been passed yet. Used cars are out there with dangerous recalls and can't be adjudicated. That's another problem that we should all take up. I guess Blumenthal had Senate Bill 1634, and in the House was H.R. 3449. Those bills have to be passed. But I have no trust now in the Congress pursuing this, our Congress. Hopefully we can put enough pressure on them, especially with this autonomous car business, which is the most outstanding and most dangerous possibility. We have to make sure that everyone has to do something to make it better for the consumer. Anyway, I'm happy to that you have this call, because I think it's an important thing for the public right now.
Thank you, and I think you raise a really important issue. I mean, we are certainly supporting legislation that will close that loophole on selling used cars with open safety recalls on it. So there is an unfinished agenda, and I think we need to address both those issues as well as the future issues in any legislation. Joan Clevick would like to make a statement.
There's a large number of unattended to issues pending at NHTSA already that have not been addressed. And these all need to be addressed. And in addition, there's legislation that should be addressed. Jackie mentioned the Imminent Hazard Authority. In addition, of course, you've mentioned the used car loophole. But there's also the cap on civil penalties should be removed, criminal penalty authority, the seatbelt reminders in the rear seat, seat back strength of the front seat back, which is a huge problem. Of course, the far side impact safety for rollovers, so on and so forth. So there are quite a number of things that are needed legislatively as well as administratively, where NHTSA has not had a chance to address safety priorities that would save a lot of lives. And when the argument is made that these vehicles will save a lot of lives, well, so will a lot of other things that are pending at NHTSA right now and have been for a long time, that aren't as esoteric and difficult to achieve as these cars would save a lot of lives. So this rush with the push by the auto industry, which is essentially trying to deregulate auto safety. This is the first step to deregulate auto safety, so there will not be regulation that has any meaning in the future.
Thank you, John. With that, I'm going to close our press conference again. Thank you, everybody, for listening in, and thank you very much to all of our speakers who did a great job. I just want to say that all the speaker statements will be on our website, as well as a summary of the Senate AV START Act. We also have put together a list of the worst provisions in the bill and omissions, and we will also be posting an audio recording of this call. Our website is www.saferoads.org. Again, www.saferoads.org. If you would like to have individual interviews with any of our speakers, I recommend that you call Bill Braunrot at 202-270-4415 or Eric Nang at 217-4415. 203-493-8294.
Repeat the numbers.
Let me say that again. Bill Bronrott can be reached at 202-270-4415. Eric Nang can be reached at 217-493-8294. Again, thank you very much. We really appreciate your interest in this issue.
This concludes this afternoon's teleconference. You may now disconnect your lines.
Idea. Just press it again.